Aside from the occasional oil explorer, timber cruiser, or misguided Christian missionary, the Korobotok had never been exposed to blue-eyed devils. Yet when, blue eyes as wide as poker chips, our foreign mob suddenly appeared out of nowhere, we were received as honored guests. So gracious was their hospitality, in fact, that after a confab, tribal leaders decided that a pair from our group would be crowned king and queen for the day. Being both very strong and very sweet, the guide Beth was a logical choice for queen. Why they chose me as their king, I haven't a clue. Certainly, it had nothing to do with my literary reputation, although some novelists are known to practice verbal cannibalism, biting and gnawing on one another insatiably at cocktail parties or in reviews. At any rate, our host escorted Beth and me to sexually segregated longhouses where they wrapped us in regal sarongs and other colorful raiments and hung about 30 pounds of solid gold jewelry, the village treasury, from our respective necks and appendages. They must have figured we were too weighted down to skip town. There was then a royal procession back to the principal longhouse where, now on display, were the remains of seven persons recently exhumed from the graves where they had lain for years while their families saved enough money to fund the ceremony that would finally usher their spirits into the Korobotok version of heaven. The bones were lovingly washed, dried, and stacked in seven neat piles, a skull atop each pile like some kind of Halloween cherry. Then the celebration began.